ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text 39. Dehe panchatvam apane, dehi karmanugo vasaha, dehantaram anuprapya, praktanam tyajate vapu. Dehe, when the body, panchatvam apane, turns into five elements. Dehi, the proprietor of the body, the living being. Karma anugaha, following the reactions of his own fruitive activities. Avashaha, spontaneously, automatically. Deha antaram, another body made of material elements. Anuprapya, receiving as a result. Praktanam, the former. Tyajate, gives up. Vapuhu, body. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the present body turns to dust and is again reduced to five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the proprietor of the body, the living being, automatically receives another body of material elements according to his fruitive activities. When the next body is obtained, he gives up the present body. Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, which presents the beginning of spiritual understanding. Dehi nosmin yatha dehe komaram yovanam jara tatha dehantaram praptir diras tatra namuyate. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2:13. A person or an animal is not the material body. Rather, the material body is the covering of the living being. Bhagavad Gita compares the body to a dress and elaborately explains how one changes dresses one after another. The same Vedic knowledge is confirmed here. The living being, the soul, is constantly changing bodies one after another. Even in the present life, the body changes from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to youth, and from youth to old age. Similarly, when the body is too old to continue, the living being gives up this body and by the laws of nature automatically gets another body according to his fruitive activities, desires, and ambitions. The laws of nature control this sequence, and therefore, as long as the living entity is under the control of the external material energy, the process of bodily change takes place automatically, according to one's fruitive activities. Vasudeva, therefore, wanted to impress upon Kamsa that if he committed this sinful act of killing a woman, in his next life, he would certainly get a material body still more conditioned to the sufferings of material existence. Thus, Vasudeva advised Kamsa not to commit sinful activities. One who commits sinful activities because of ignorance, tamagun, obtains a lower body. Karanam guna sangosya sad asad yoni janmasu. Bhagavad Gita 13:22. There are hundreds and thousands of different species of life. Why are there higher and lower bodies? One receives these bodies according to the contaminations of material nature. If in this life one is contaminated by the mode of ignorance and sinful activities, duskriti, in the next life, by the laws of nature, one will certainly get a body full of suffering. The laws of nature are not subservient to the whimsical desires of the conditioned soul. Our endeavor, therefore, should be to associate always with sattva-gun and not indulge in rajagun or tamagun, rajas tamo bhava. Lusty desires and greed keep the living entity perpetually in ignorance and prevent him from being elevated to the platform of sattva-gun or shuddha-sattva-gun. One is advised to be situated in shuddha-sattva-gun, devotional service, for thus one is immune to the reactions of the three modes of material nature.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschati Desitarini. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So this 10th canto, first chapter, if we were to make a movie of it, there would be so many different acts and scenes, starting out with Pradikshit Maharaj. The first 13 verses, he's imploring Sukadeva Goswami that now you've whetted my appetite in the 9th canto, because Sukadeva Goswami there, he described the different dynasties. And at last he described the dynasty in which Krishna and Balaram were to appear. And Pradikshit Maharaj had so many questions just from what he was saying about the dynasties. How is it that Balaram had two mothers, Devaki and Rohini? How is it that Krishna could perform such a sinful act as killing his maternal uncle? So we have to understand that Pradikshit Maharaj, although he was a family member, very close family member of Krishna, he didn't have direct association with him in his lifetime. He saw Krishna, he had darshan of him while he was still in the womb. But after that, Krishna left for Dwarka and soon after took all of his associates back to either the spiritual world or he sent them back to the heavenly planets. So now finally, these last few days before he's about to leave the particular body he's in, he gets to hear about Krishna. And this is the beginning of the 10th canto. So when Sukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami is narrating, what Sukadeva Goswami replied to Pradikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami said, this is so wonderful that you're asking these questions, because three people can be purified by hearing my answers. First of all, the speaker, that was Sukadeva Goswami. Secondly, yourself, Pradikshit Maharaj. And thirdly, the general public. General public then, at that time, was all the sages. And now by the grace of Srila Vyasadeva and by the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we're also a part of that general public who can become purified by hearing these answers of Sukadeva Goswami to Pradikshit Maharaj. So one by one, Sukadeva Goswami, he began to describe why the Lord appeared and how the Lord advented. Advent, like we have the word adventure. Now we know, because we have some inkling of Atma Tattva, that the Lord is he's situated everywhere because everything is his energy. And at the same time, he's eternally situated in his Vastavi pastimes, his eternal spiritual pastimes in the spiritual world. When he chooses to manifest a certain portion of his pastimes, there are two different types of pastimes that he manifests in the material world. One is Sodaharan, that's the ordinary pastimes, creation, maintenance, destruction, the killing of the demons, the protection of the devotees. And then he has his internal pastimes that he manifests to his intimate and confidential devotees. Now, the three types of devotees that take part in Krishna's pastimes. One is Krishna, when he manifests, he's still in the spiritual world, but because he's everywhere, he can manifest these pastimes anywhere. And he chooses to manifest his internal pastimes in this Mandala Bhumi of Mathura. So he manifests those pastimes, and in those pastimes, he has his eternal associates, who are also manifest from the spiritual world, and he has the devotees who are aspiring to go back to the spiritual world, the sadhana bhaktas. Hopefully we're in that category. And then there's a third category, and that is the fallen yogis that Krishna discusses in the Bhagavad Gita. And these fallen yogis, Krishna says either they take a high birth, even the heavenly planets, they enjoy for some time, then they come back down again, or they take a very aristocratic birth, or birth in a wealthy family. So that third type of devotees, when Brahma went to the ocean, the shore of the ocean of Svetadvipa, and meditated, and Krishna informed Brahma and the demigods that he already knows about the sufferings of Bhumi Devi. He was already scheduled to come at this time. He's going to come. And he wants the wives of the demigods to appear, and all of the demigods to appear to take part in his pastimes at that time. So these so-called fallen yogis, or these inhabitants of the heavenly planets, were ordered by Krishna through Brahma to take birth in particular dynasties that would be associated with Krishna. That's the Yadu dynasty, the Andakas, the Vrishnis, the Bhojas. So all of these dynasties that were related to this area of Mathura, which Mathura was a part of a bigger area called Surasen. Surasen was the father of Vasudev, and Surasen was the son of Kartavirya Arjuna. So he came and he inhabited this area, and all of his allied dynasties, they lived here in this area too. So from Surasen there was Vasudev. And Ugrasen, he was the king of all of these allied dynasties, the Yadus, the Andakas, the Vrishnis. And they all lived here in this area of Mathura Bhumi. So Ugrasen, he had a minister. And that minister was Surasen's son, Vasudev. And all of Ugrasen's daughters married the younger brothers of Vasudev. And today, we're reading about the marriage of Vasudev to the daughter of Devaka. Now, Devaka and Ugrasen, they were very closely related because all the families were together as a big Hindu united family. So Kamsa, being the son of Ugrasen, he considered Devaki to be just like his sister. And therefore, just as in any big marriage, all the cousins and the brothers, they get together and they have a wonderful festival and they consider themselves to just be like brothers and sisters. So Kamsa, today we're going to do a very in-depth study of Kamsa, his mentality. In psychology, we have two main factors that determine the psyche or the consciousness of a human being. We're going to talk about only humans. And that is today what's called genetics or DNA. We've all heard of DNA. Maybe not all of us know what it means. But the empiricists, they put a strong influence on this DNA. DNA is dinucleo. Who knows the... Thank you. It's a type of acid. The A for is acid, nuclear acid within the body. Now they say that according to the placements of the different genes, a person has a particular type of consciousness and body. The mind and body are created by this DNA. These are the geneticists or the empiricists. Now, Rupa Goswami, he calls Kamsa an aggressive empiricist because the empiricists do not accept providence or the hand of God, which is called Daiva. They don't understand that anything can happen by the desire of the Lord. They think that by the interaction of different chemicals, that's why a person behaves the way he does. And aside from genetics, there's something called the socio-environment. So even if we have a particular genetic composition of our body and our mind, depending upon how we are interacting with our parents, with our friends, with our relatives, that also affects our personality. So in genetics, they go back to the coding of an individual from even before their death, their birth. And Kamsa, it turns out that Kamsa was not actually the son of Ugrasen, who was very elevated in the Andaka dynasty. He was the son of a yaksha. Yakshas are powerful. They have superhuman powers, and they worship Kuvera, who is also a worshiper of Lord Shiva. They're not quite Vaishnavas. They're worshippers of Lord Shiva. And his mother, Padmavati, according to Jiva Goswami, came from a family of demons. Now, just as in Braj, we've all heard of Jatila, and how she creates so much disturbance within the Braj Leela of Radha and Krishna. So in Mathura, the counterpart, we would say, is Padmavati. Because Padmavati, the mother of Kamsa, for instance, when Kamsa died, she uncontrollably lamented at the death of her son, whereas everybody else was jubilant because he had been so cruel and so ferocious. And Padmavati, in her opinion, the reason that Krishna came here was because he was made into the slave of the cowherd boys and men to take care of the cows. They hardly fed him, therefore he had to steal to eat. They didn't give him shoes to wear. They made him go out in the fields all day and night with the cows. And when he finally escaped back to his real parents in Mathura, this is Padmavati's vision of Krishna living in Vrindavan, and Krishna sent Uddhava with some gifts for, you know, to thank his mother and father, Yashoda and Nanda, Padmavati said what they did was they bribed Uddhava with a lot of milk products to get him to convince Krishna to come back so he could be their slave again to take care of the cows. So Padmavati, coming from this demoniac family, and her son being Kamsa, the combination of the two, in fact, Rohini, in sarcasm, she used to call Padmavati Sati. Sati means a chaste wife. But we all know that she had Kamsa by another man entirely, so she wasn't chaste in any manner. So this combination of the two, the genetics and the socio, because his genetics were demoniac, coming from a yaksha and a demoniac family. And then the socio. Socio means, like for instance, if you have a plantation, a garden, and you have different types of seeds, you plant the seeds and you give the same thing. You have soil and you have water and you have someone tending all those seeds. But some seeds come up as poisonous plants and some seeds come up as beautiful flowers. So these different seeds, although they're put in the same place, due to the genetics of the seeds, they come up differently. So Vasudev, Devaki, and Kamsa, they were all in the same ground, which was Mathura. They all got the same water, which was the same training, but they grew up differently. And the proof is that here, Kamsa, when he heard from the demigods, and the demigods, they spoke this unembodied omen for a reason. They wanted to agitate Kamsa. They wanted Kamsa to commit sinful activities to accelerate the appearance of Krishna. Because the demigods, they wanted to see the pastimes of Krishna. Some of them had taken birth, and some of them were just waiting for this opportunity to see Krishna's pastimes. So when Kamsa heard this, because of his conditioning and his demoniac behavior and background, he was immediately ready to kill his own sister. Now in psychology, there's something called APD, Antisocial Personality Disorder. And there are two main categories. That is the sociopaths and the psychopaths. The sociopaths, they do things that are not acceptable, but they have a conscience. They feel badly about it afterwards, but they just can't stop themselves. Due to intoxication, due to bad association, they'll murder, they'll steal, and even if you try to give them good advice, they'll listen, but they just can't stop themselves from doing the wrong thing. And then you have psychopaths. Psychopaths have no consciousness whatsoever, conscience. They have no connection with any empathy or sympathy. They actually take pleasure in hurting other living entities. And this is the demoniac mentality. So Kamsa, he had this antisocial personality disorder, being a demon. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He had been trained in Atmatattva, just as Vasudeva and Devaki had been trained, because even the women in Kshatriya families, they knew diplomacy. We have the example of Draupadi. She knew her own husbands couldn't defeat all of the demoniac forces within the Shabha, but she was able, through her diplomacy, to gain her freedom and the freedom of her husbands. So Kshatriyanis also knew diplomacy. But in this situation, Vasudeva is speaking. He is using diplomacy to convince Kamsa not to kill Devaki. Now, in diplomacy, there are four major rules. One is Sama. So here, Vasudeva is using Sama diplomacy. He's trying to pacify Kamsa, although Kamsa has the sword in his hand, this hand, and he's ready to kill her, chop off her head. He's speaking so peacefully. He's flattering Kamsa. He's telling him what a great Bhojendra, the king of the Bhojas, this Bhoja dynasty. Bhoja means sense gratification. It also means fighting. It wasn't actually a compliment. The Bhoja dynasty was known for they were very influenced by sense gratification. But he was speaking in such a flattering way just to gain Kamsa's confidence. The Kamsa, this is your sister. Sister is like a daughter. She's under your protection. You can't kill her on her own wedding day. You have nothing to fear from her. So Vasudeva, being the perfect diplomat,
he was using this sama. Then he realized that it wasn't, I mean, Kamsa stopped. He was listening because there was flattery involved. But he was still ready to kill Devaki because also in diplomacy, and this the demons told Kamsa later, that if you have an enemy has to be completely removed at the very root, just as if you have fire, debt, or disease. If you have a small fire, if you don't put it out, it can become a raging fire. If you have symptoms of a little disease, but you don't treat those symptoms, it can become a terminal disease. And if you have a small debt due to interest and compound interest, it becomes such a huge debt that you'll never be able to pay it back. So similarly, if you have an enemy, you have to kill that enemy at the very root. So Kamsa, when he heard that the eighth child of Devaki was going to kill him, he thought, well, this child is going to come from Devaki. She's the root of the child. If I kill her, then there won't be any children. So he decided he's going to kill her. So when Vasudeva saw that his sama was not working, then he went on to the next form of diplomacy called dana. He decided, well, my first concern is, because there are no children right now, I have to save Devaki's life. So let me offer him something. So then he decided, again smiling and very cheerful, just like he was his brother-in-law, he said, don't worry about Devaki. She's not going to kill you. But any son that we have, I will bring and give to you. So then, Kamsa became pacified. And he decided not to kill her because Kamsa, he knew what a fantastic and elevated consciousness Vasudeva had. And he believed Vasudeva that he was actually going to give all the sons to him. So he said, all right, you go home. So Vasudeva and Devaki, they were very happy to learn that their eighth child was going to kill this monstrous demon, Kamsa. So what Kamsa was doing was, because he was a very powerful demon, he was allying with all of the demons. Now all the demons that he could bring with him, like Aga, Putana, Baka, Denuka, Trina, he brought them all to make as his cabinet members in Mathura. And then he had distant allies also, so that he could control, through his demoniac allies, all of Bharatvarsha. He had Dravida, that was over in Gujarat. He had Jarasandha in Bihar. He had Bana and Boma in Assam. So in other words, he had a full network of demoniac allies, and he had his cabinet in Mathura. So we may wonder, if Mathura is the spiritual world where Krishna enacts his eternal pleasure pastimes, how is it the demons could live here? And the Goswamis describe that just like in a holy place, there are also crows. They come. The crows come also to the holy places. They like to eat the garbage. So the demons were here for a specific purpose. And that was to enhance Krishna's pastimes. Krishna brought them here because he wanted to enjoy fighting with them. Now, Kamsa was actually on such an elevated level. If you look objectively, a few weeks back, we celebrated the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. Now, Haridas Thakur, he had two wishes. That was that the Lord place his feet on his chest. And the other was that when he leave his body, he be seeing the beautiful face of the Lord. So then, if we fast forward to Kamsa's death, when Kamsa was dying, Krishna had grabbed him by the hair, pulled him off of his throne, dragged him into the arena, had him down on the ground, and he jumped on his chest with his feet. So Krishna's feet were on Kamsa's chest, and he was beating Kamsa, And his face was right in Kamsa's face. So Kamsa died, objectively, in exactly the same situation that Haridas Thakur died. Krishna had his feet on his chest, and Kamsa was looking right at the face of Krishna. And not only that, everyone, thousands and thousands of people, were cheering. Jai Shri Krishna, Jai. Everyone was celebrating. So what an auspicious death that was. And aside from that, after Kamsa died, Krishna performed a royal funeral for him. And not only for him, but also for Chanura, Mushtika, and all the wrestlers who he and Balaram had killed. And Chanura and Mushtika, they had been influenced by the envious nature of Kamsa, but they died being embraced by the lords, just as Krishna embraced his friends. So though we consider these personalities to be demons, they were actually very much favored by the Lord. Now, how did they get these favors? We go all the way back to the beginning of the creation. The first created being was Brahma. And Brahma, as a secondary creator, it was his responsibility to populate the 14 planets. So, being very powerful, the first thing he did was he created sons from his mind. And one of those Manasaputras, one was Narada, one was Marichi. And Marichi, also being a Prajapati, he started to populate. He had many, many sons. One of his famous sons was Kashyapa Muni. Kashyapa Muni was a secondary progenitor, Prajapati, because from him all the Daityas and the Adityas came, the demigods and the Asuras. So another of Marichi's six sons, amongst them, there was one son named Smara. And those six sons we heard in previous classes, because they offended Lord Brahma when Brahma became attracted to his own daughter, Marichi cursed them to take birth as demons, and they took birth in the same family line. They took birth as the sons of Kalanimi, who was the son of Hiranyakashipu. Now Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha later in Krishna Lila would take birth as Shishupal and Dantavakra. And Kalanimi, he took birth as Kamsa. And these six sons of Marichi, they took birth as his sons. They were cursed by Hiranyakashipu for taking shelter of Lord Brahma, that they would be killed by their own father. So Kalanimi took birth as Kamsa, and to fulfill this curse of the Brahmin, of Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa then, by providence, was duty-bound to kill these six sons, who he had, they were his own sons in the previous birth. So Smara, being one of the first sons of Marichi, he then took birth from Kalanimi, and now he's taking birth from Vasudev. He was the first son. After performing the Namakaran, his name was Kirtiman, and Vasudev brought that first son to Kamsa. By this time, Kamsa, he wasn't worried, because he had been convinced by Vasudev's elevated advice. He had nothing to fear from the first son. He had nothing to fear from Devaki. He was only worried about the eighth son. So he said very lovingly to Vasudev, "I have nothing to fear. You take him back." But Vasudev didn't trust him. See, in between, Narada Muni, he wanted to speed up these pastimes. He wanted Krishna to come quickly. So in a secluded place in one of the forests around Mathura, he sent a messenger to Kamsa, telling him he had arrived. Kamsa immediately came to meet him. And it was Narada Muni who convinced Kamsa, this is where the socio element comes in, Kamsa was willing not to kill the children. Narada Muni convinced him. He said, "I've just come from the heavenly planets. All of the demigods have now taken birth in these different dynasties. They've even taken birth in Braj, Nanda Maharaj, all the cowherd men, they're all demigods, they're all devotees of the Lord. And they were planning on Sumeru Parvat to come here specifically to kill you and all of your demoniac allies. So you can't trust anybody. Best thing is if you kill everyone. So this is Narada Muni giving advice to Kamsa. So then Kamsa shackled up Vasudeva and Devaki, put them in the prison, killed the first child, smashing him on the ground. And then Vasudeva and Devaki, being very anxious that Krishna appear, every single year they gave birth to a son, just so that these sons could be killed, Kamsa could increase his nefarious activities, and finally, the seventh son, it was announced within the palace, had been aborted, miscarriage. And everyone was, they were lamenting, including Kamsa. He was lamenting because it's also his sister, and he didn't know where the baby went, so he was a little fearful also. Now, this fear principle is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We know about bhakti, and we know about anukulyena shilas Krishna. Rupa Goswami, he describes the aspects of bhakti as always thinking favorably of Krishna and engaging in his favorable service. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam. But there's six other types of perfection in Krishna consciousness that one can attain. The first is by kama, by lust. The gopis, they attain perfection of meditation on Krishna by their lusty desires. The second is by fear. Kamsa actually attained perfection in his Krishna consciousness by always being fearful of Krishna, although it was unfavorable. The next is dvesha. Dvesha is hatred. Shishupal, he also attained perfection in Krishna consciousness, unfavorably. The next is the yadus themselves. The yadus, they were demigod by mentality. They came here to take part in Krishna's pastime, and simply by their sambandh, they attained perfection in their Krishna consciousness. And then within the sambandh, there were the pandavas. The pandavas attained supreme perfection in Krishna consciousness by their sneha, by their love and affection for Krishna. And then finally, there are devotees, hopefully such as ourselves. They attain perfection in Krishna consciousness by their bhakti, by their devotional service, by what they can do for Krishna and how they're always thinking favorably about Krishna. So Kamsa is the example of someone who they don't even want to think of Krishna favorably, but they're forced to constantly meditate on Krishna out of fear. So Kamsa attained perfection by his fear. He was always fearful of Krishna. When he was sitting, when he was sleeping, when he was walking, when he was eating, when he was anything he was doing, he was fearful of Krishna. And fear paralyzes a person. This is another aspect of psychology. When you become fearful, you freeze, and your body becomes deformed. You can't move properly. So Jiva Goswami, he compares Kamsa to just like if a person has a broken nose, they're embarrassed to go out because people will see them. So you'll notice that Kamsa, because of his fear, and Krishna, he explained this. He said, Kamsa will never come here to Vrindavan because he's so fearful of me. So Kamsa, he just stayed in his palace, and he sent one after another because of his fear. All of his demoniac ministers, he sent them all to get liberated. Because anyone who was associated with him or with Putana, they all got liberated. Kamsa himself got liberated. And the reason he got liberated was he was 24 hours a day meditating on Krishna in fear, and because Krishna personally killed him. The only two demons who were not liberated in these past times were Shishupal and Dantavakra. They had to take an additional birth as Jaghai and Madhai. Finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he liberated them. And Kamsa, we know, he took birth as the Chankazi to take a very special part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So Kamsa, being so fearful, there are different names of Krishna. One of those names is, because he was the Bhojendra, he was the king of the Bhojas, one of Krishna's names is, he was the gardening tool that uprooted this thorn bush of Kamsa in the Bhoja dynasty. He was the stake in Kamsa's heart. Now, we know about Rakshasas here in India because it's in all of our histories. But in the West, they don't call them Rakshasas, they call them vampires, right? Vampires are people with fangs and they love to eat people and suck their blood. It's the same thing as Rakshasas. And it's said that the only way to kill a vampire is if you take a big stake and pierce their heart with it. So Jiva Goswami, he says that Krishna was that stake in Kamsa's heart. So there's so many different beautiful names of Krishna, how he was able to liberate this Kamsa. Now Prabhupada, he describes Kamsa, and he says that Kamsa was not the only person who was ready to kill his own family members to establish himself as a king. Prabhupada gave a very long history of Shah Jahan and his son Aurangzeb. Aurangzeb, because it's just walking distance from here. In fact, that's how our beautiful Govindaji Mandir got destroyed, because Shah Jahan and his wife, Memtaj, from Agra they could see the glowing diya on top of the Govindaji temple. And Memtaj, he said, how can a Hindu temple be so high? You have to break it down. And that's how the Govindaji temple was broken down. And this is how, after she died, Krishna killed her, this Taj Mahal was made. So she had four sons from Shah Jahan. And the Prabhupada gives the names of the son. He knew everything about history. So Dara, the eldest son, although in those days amongst the Muslims, it wasn't by heredity that you became the king. Dara was expected to become the king after Shah Jahan died. But Aurangzeb was very ambitious. So he arranged, he killed all of his brothers and his nephew, and he locked up his own father, just like Kamsa locked up Ugrasen. Shah Jahan, he was locked up in the Agra fort, and Shah Jahan told him, he said, it's better you kill me. I was the emperor. I'll go mad. I was ruling the whole world. Now you want me to just stay locked up in my fort? Aurangzeb didn't go so far. He just kept his father locked up until he died. So Kamsa and those of demoniac mentality, they are ready to kill their own family members. And therefore, Kamsa, he just waited in fear. And he didn't kill his sister, but he waited till his sister had a newborn little baby. And as soon as he heard that each one of those newborn, innocent, completely unprotected babies were born, he ran to the prison and mercilessly dashed them onto the stone. This is the kind of demon he was, simply to protect himself. Now, this particular verse that we're reading today, that Vasudeva is explaining, that this body is just made up of five elements, and when the soul leaves the body to go on according to his karma, the anukarana, where he's going to go next according to his fruitive activities, this body just decomposes into the five elements. Now later, when Kamsa heard that the eighth child was born, and there's so many pastimes in between, so many chapters, but it's very important to understand that Kamsa, because he had all of this atma-tattva knowledge, when he was begging forgiveness from his brother-in-law and sister. When Durga Devi flew up in the sky and called him a fool and told him that the eighth child who's going to kill you has already been born somewhere else. Then he fell down at their feet and he tried to pacify Vasudeva and Devaki just as Vasudeva is trying to pacify Kamsa. He told them practically exactly the same verse. He said these bodies are just like pots or dolls or vessels made out of clay. And when you break those vessels, they just decompose and they become earth again. They're nothing, these bodies. And the soul then passes on. So he explained to them. He says, so long as I was believing that I was my body, I was fearful, and I was prepared to kill all of your children. But now I have become self-realized, and I understand that I'm not this body, I was not actually the killers of your children, and I have nothing to fear because I know now that I'm not my body. So he was using the exact same Atma Tattva to pacify and to beg forgiveness from Vasudeva and Devaki when Durga chastised him. So the same knowledge can be used also by the demons, because from that knowledge he then understood that actually I'm not the killer of all these children, actually I have nothing to fear, but in between he went through such turmoil. Now sometimes if we have a decision to make, at least this is what I do, I take a piece of paper and I write pros and I write cons. And I write all the reasons why I should do something and all the reasons why I should not do something. So Kamsa, while he was sitting in his, all paralyzed within his palace, watching everyone get killed, he was thinking of all the pros and cons about killing Devaki. Still, he was still contemplating, should I have killed her? Should I not have killed her? He came to 13 reasons why he actually should not have killed his sister. First, it was his sister. Second, it was she was unprotected. She was under his care. She was pregnant. And this is when she was pregnant with the eighth child. He was thinking, because after the seventh child aborted, then she had the eighth child the next year. And so he was thinking, well, maybe I should kill her now. Then he 13 reasons. He decided, well, if I kill her, a woman pregnant, under my care, my reputation will be killed. And I'm sure that at the time of death, I'll be sent to Andhatama, the darkest region of hell. So he understood perfectly transmigration of the soul. So therefore, even though Devaki, and he saw how beautiful Devaki had become, he knew there must be something special in her womb. So those whole years, all those long years, we could say 8 years, that Devaki and Vasudeva were in the prison, he was still contemplating, should I kill my sister or shouldn't I? And rather than kill her, he killed all the babies instead, mercilessly. Now he was thinking, should I kill her now? Because then the baby won't even be born. He decided, no, it's not even good for me if I kill her, because then I'll be sent to hell. So the demons, even Putana was so, it's described that she had killed 10 million babies. And she ate babies, because she was huge. She had big fangs and her hair was like serpents, all matted. When she entered Braj and she contemplated which baby she was going to kill, she had already killed 10 million babies and eaten them with her fangs. And these babies were compared to little pieces of chira to her, little rice flakes. Just pop them in her mouth. That's how big she was. So for her, it was no problem to kill babies, and she had no remorse either. So she was just looking around. Who was she going to kill? And she was so powerful that she was able to change her form into a beautiful woman. So demons like that Kamsa was not, he was more cultured because he lived there amongst all of the Rishnis and the Yadus. So he knew he was going to go to hell if he killed Devaki. So he waited. And then finally, when that child, so-called, was born, and then, of course, we know there's a whole pastime, there was no way that Devaki was going to give birth to a girl as the eighth, because the omen said it was going to be a boy. But Devaki, being the wife of a great Kshatriya, the daughter of a great Kshatriya, she then used a fifth principle of diplomacy, and that's called Dhamma. She tried to convince Kamsa not to kill this baby, little girl. So tomorrow we'll hear more as Vasudev continues to try to convince Kamsa not to kill Devaki. Hare Krishna. Jai.